This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Good answer from Tatum last night. You hope the Celtics play that way in the postseason. It didn't look that way for much of the series, if I'm being honest. But last night, the second half, playing relaxed, playing free and easy, it definitely looked that way in the second half last night.
Yeah. It was just got a little out of hand for the Magic as the three ball kind of opened up. Paolo Banchero's, in foul trouble, and then they really couldn't match him. But, I mean, Tatum ended up, was the story after the first two games, right? The whole wrist thing, the Missoula comments, he doesn't play in game two. He ends up for the series averaging 31, 11, and 5.
And what did he do the last three? Was it 35, 35, 35?
36, 37, 35.
Thank you.
So he averaged 36 a game in the final three. He had 10 assists yesterday in the clincher. 8 rebounds. He's been rebounding at a really high clip this whole series. He also, they flashed the stat up yesterday too. He started the series 0 for 4 at the free throw line and then made his next 37 or something insane, or 38. Yeah. Like, he just hit every free throw after the fact. Was at the line a lot. You know, he took 12. He went 12 for 12, 14 for 14, 11 for 11.
Right.
In three straight games.
So when Tatum is struggling with his shot and scoring like 20 a game, but he's getting rebounds and assists, and people are like, well, still he still contributes. See, he's still a good player. Well, of course he's still a good player.
Well, yeah.
But that's this is the Tatum we want. And specifically, I want last night, high efficiency, doesn't need to shoot a million threes. He's getting to the free throw line, which means he's going to the rim. Like, I don't need them to win by 31 every game. I don't need him to score 35 every game. But the game prior, I really didn't think he was that great. He scored 37. I thought he was way better last night, way better last night. He carried them when they sucked. He was front and center when they were pulling away, as was Jaylen, by the way. Jaylen was the one that got foul after foul after foul on Paolo Banchero. But this is the Tatum I've been asking for. This is the Tatum I want to continue to see. High points, high efficiency, carrying the team when they're struggling to keep them in the game, and then being a part of them kicking the other team to the curb when they're running away. Like that's the Tatum I want. And when I don't see it, the reason we call him out is because we know he's capable of stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. No, I think the scoring has to be there with Tatum. And I know you could argue, well, they're very deep and they have other guys that can score. Still, he needs to be there at the top, right? And maybe, you're not going to lead the team in scoring every single game. But for the series, he really should. He has that kind of ability. He's the guy you want taking the most shots. And as the series goes on, like, if Donovan Mitchell has a lot of assists and a few rebounds but doesn't score a lot of points, like, that's not a great Donovan Mitchell game. Like, there are certain guys that need to score more, whether it's Jalen Brunson, or I would put Tatum on that list too. And what was encouraging was the first couple of games he wasn't knocking down as many threes, but then he was getting to the line and getting his points that way. Plus yesterday he was getting everybody else involved, especially in that second half when they were just zipping the ball around and everything was falling.
What do you have, 5 assists in the first quarter or something like that? He had a ton of assists right away where he was getting guys involved.
Right, 5 in the first quarter.
And no one was going.
And 10 points. So like it wasn't just, when Jimmy Butler used to do the thing where you're like, I won't shoot, I'll get everybody else involved for a whole quarter. Yeah. And you're like, all right, great. No, he was scoring and he was getting everybody else going.
And the team wasn't going. No one was going.
Nope.
He was the only one going. He was the only reason they were in the game when they were playing like crap. He had the dunk right before halftime. And I don't want to over-dramatize the impact of that, but that got the crowd really into it at halftime, maybe gave the team a little bit of juice going into halftime where he goes coast to coast and jams it down. you know, they needed Banchero to get into foul trouble to really run away from Orlando. So I don't want to say it all turned after the dunk. It turned after the foul trouble that, stupidly, Banchero's coach put him in the middle of. But I think Tatum was front and center in the whole thing.
Speaking of, just for the first quarter, he scored or assisted on 20 of the 23 points.
Okay.
So like, he was the whole first quarter. You're
right. It sucks they only had 23, and it sucks that they were down at halftime, and it sucks that they were shooting so poorly in the first half.
However.
But he was going, and he kept them in the game because he was playing well, and that allowed the team to hang around close enough to run away from Orlando. So that was a dominant performance by Tatum last night. I think it was easily, not even close, his best game in the series.
Yeah.
And again, you don't need to win by 30 every night. He doesn't need to score 35 every night. He doesn't need to have all the points and the assists in the first quarter. But when stuff like that isn't there and they're losing games or they're struggling in games or he's struggling with his shot for rounds at a time like he did last postseason, this is why we call it out, because this is the Tatum I want to see. And I think he's also showed some toughness in this series. Like, I still don't love that he missed game two.
I mean, his wrist is bothering him. Like, it has
But I feel consistent on this. We're on Jimmy Butler for missing a game for an Aspers.
Yeah, it's like, the playoffs. Right, you play.
So, and it's a pain tolerance thing. It's reported as a pain tolerance thing. He's clearly fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it doesn't bother him on some level, but he's clearly fine. So, I didn't love that he missed game two. But how has he dealt with it since he's come back?
I think he's been great.
Well, I think he's shown some actual toughness. Good. We want that out of him, too, and I think he's shown it.
Yeah, because in game one, when he actually got hurt, he stayed in the game. And then game two, he doesn't play. And then you're wondering, like, all right, well, how bad is this? And then after that, the guy has been a scoring machine. He even took that absolute, like, hack by Anthony Black on the wrist and was able to, like, kind of shake his head and shake it off and keep playing in the game. So, yeah, all these guys are dealing with something, obviously, at this point. And I agree. I think Tatum has at least shown the toughness. I think really the whole team has, because whether they were prepared for it or not, they realized, like, oh, like, Orlando might not be the most skilled, but they are going to try to rough it up. So we're going to have to – it's going to have to be a physical series.
Yeah. And so I don't think the Knicks can play defense, assuming it's New York in the next round, which I –
I think the Pistons should have swept this series, Keith, if they know what they're doing in the final 2 minutes of a game.
The Pistons should be up 5-0 in that series.
5-0.
Like, it should have been
won all five of these games.
It should be a five-game sweep, but they're so bad at closing these games out.
It'll be the Knicks. The Knicks almost won it last night. So the Pistons almost gave them that one.
And I thought the Pistons would be a sneaky, difficult little second-round matchup.
Yeah.
If you can't close out games against the Knicks, you have no shot.
They have no chance.
Against the Celtics. None. So, no, I think it's going to be New York. I don't think New York can play defense the way Orlando did. They're not built that way.
Yeah.
Can they give a little extra after the whistle to Tatum and mix it up with him in that way? They might be able to do some of that.
Well, they have that, and they also, you know, trying to outscore the Celtics isn't the best plan, but could they steal a game that way? So much like Orlando stole a game, kind of roughing it up, playing a low-scoring game, the Knicks, they at least have the chance that, like, Brunson and Towns, and, like, they just don't miss shots one night. Maybe. But that's not a way to win a series.
It's a way to win a game. It's not a way to win a series. Right. Agreed. Let's get to the phone. 617-779-7937. Chris is in Pepperell. Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. First time, long time.
Welcome.
Love the show, guys.
Nice.
Thank you. So I love Tatum, and I love the Celtics. I grew up in Pepperell my whole life, so I'm a Boston fan, but one thing I saw last night when I was at the bar with my buddy, Tatum, I love him. He's great, doing awesome, but just the way he carries himself, you know, he throws his arms up in the air, he flops. I feel like he could just do a little bit better there.
So let me tell you, that does bother me about Tatum from time to time.
So he kind of set us up a little bit. He's like, I love Tatum, but...
But I kind of noticed this at the bar.
So this was also something Tatum did as a rookie, as a second-year player, as a third-year player, as a fourth... It's not going to change.
Look, he noticed it last night.
Okay.
If finally...
As a Pepperell man.
Honestly, in this series, it didn't bother me a ton. There was one instance last night, I don't know if you caught this, where I think it was Cole Anthony... Or was it...
Cole Anthony's a smaller guy than I remember.
Oh, so tiny.
Tiny little guy.
Or was it Corey Joseph? Somebody, I don't want to say undercut him, but somebody kind of boxed him on the baseline, and he had like this weird fall down flop, like, oh my God, Like that, stuff like that bothers me a little bit about
Tatum.
Thanks
a lot, LeBron.
But honestly,
yeah, ruin the league.
Honestly, in this series, I don't think Tatum was too bad with it. And so
I don't know if we're numb to it.
Like, if he regresses in next round, we'll call him on it. But I didn't think, at least since coming back from the wrist injury, he was terrible getting up from the floor in game one. Just ask his coach. But since he came back from the wrist injury, I don't think he's been too bad with any of that stuff,
but
to be honest.
If you can't stand players that disagree with calls against them, like, you can't even watch the league. Like,
you agree some are worse. The flopping and the history. Yeah. Like, some are worse than others.
Some are definitely worse.
Like, Luca's horrendous when it comes
to that. Well, I mean, even go back to Kendrick Perkins. Like, that was a guy that never committed. He would have a moving screen every single game, and he would complain about it every single game.
But Tatum is somewhere on that Luka scale, where he's on the high end of it usually.
Well, and when he does drive to the hoop, I mean, a lot of times there's contact, and then whether they call the foul or not, he's always going to ask for one. That's just kind of how it goes.
More criticism for Tatum.
Oh my God, come on.
On the text line, people didn't like that
after
comment.
Last night?
People didn't like that comment. I actually like that comment from him. He's like, I'm relaxed after we won, playing free and easy.
I can't criticize Tatum after last night.
Text line. So this is them, Keith. This is not me. This is not you. Relaxed and carefree for your career. Seems like you've always been relaxed and carefree. We need a pissed off killer.
Oh my God, you're not getting
relaxed
that.
And carefree. Well, you're definitely just not getting, that's not what he is.
He's more like the silent assassin.
Right.
I thought we've talked about that quite a bit, where prior to winning a title, that was a little bit more of a, like, do you have to be Kobe Bryant to win a title? It's like, no.
No, the answer is no. Now, if you're asking me the aesthetic that I like.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like that better.
But that's not good. Yeah, sure.
You know, but Tim Duncan won a ton. Curry, I think, has a little more fire than Tatum and Duncan, but he's more on that scale than, you know, guys like Kobe or something like that.
Kawhi Leonard is, like, never said a word.
Right, good one.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, you know, like, I would rather somebody in, like, that mold, the fiery mold, as an aesthetic. But can you win the way Tatum has? He already has.
Of course.
So, no, I think that was a fair question.
How many of those guys are left? Like, the fiery, in-your-face guys are left? Anthony Edwards.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, good one.
Butler, yeah, Butler for sure.
There's not many of them left.
Anthony Edwards is a great one. Yeah, Anthony there's not Edwards. That many of them. I mean, is LeBron?
No, get out of here.
You don't think LeBron's a fiery leader?
Passive shots when he needs to take it at the end of the game? No.
I think he's kind of a front runner. I think when he's doing well. Yeah, I do.
Hate him.
But I think when things aren't going well, like somebody pointed out.
I don't know, he'll throw you under the bus if things aren't going well.
But then also.
But you don't think he's a fiery leader? He is.
He was like smiling and laughing with Anthony Edwards with like a minute to go in the game when they were losing the other night. And it's like, I don't think Jordan or Kobe would be laughing with a opponent, or Larry Bird would be laughing with an opponent during a game.
But he didn't do a lot of laughing when he was beating up on the big three Celtics at the end in his Miami days. Like, there was no love lost there. So I've seen him do it.
I thank Pierce and Garnett for that, for actually keeping up like rivalries. So I don't think there's a lot of that.
Yeah, but you saw LeBron do that in those series.
What do you mean?
You saw LeBron be icy to the opponent take over and be fiery.
But
and
now
dominate.
I think he's like, hey, this is my league. Well, maybe. You guys can all bow down to me and like, you can kiss my shoes.
At some point,
shoes.
LeBron had that. If you're telling me LeBron
lost it,
then
maybe less.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a lot of those guys. Fair point.
Yeah, because like, I don't like Cunningham and Halliburton, and like, they're all great players, but you don't really get that sense.
Halliburton needs his dada.
True. I don't love that.
Should we get into that?
Yeah.
Let's get into that with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. It's part of a broader conversation about who's left in the field, who's remaining, who's still out there, and who's the biggest threat to the Celtics. That would include, potentially, if you want to name them, the New York Knicks in round two. We'll do that with all your phone calls coming up next.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Jones and Keith, Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30. We got Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. Justin Turpin from WEEI. So stay tuned for that. The Knicks.
Just to close the loop real quick on the killers in the NBA. We were going over this.
Oh, we were in the break,
Because Nick brought up a good point, because people we had a caller be like, Tatum's not like that. It's like, well, he hasn't been for 8 years. But Nick's like, how many guys in the NBA today are like that? In the 80s and even part of the 90s, almost every team had one or two. Now there might be five in the league. So we came up with Anthony Edwards, Jaylen Brown. Like, let's not sleep on Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen's not the best player on the Celtics, but Butler's not the best player on the Warriors. And like,
I would
put Butler in there.
Yeah, but just sort of like the way they kind of carry themselves, and it's like they're not there to be your best friend, at least during the game.
Sure.
All these other guys, I think there's a little bit more of that.
Well, and the other names on our list were like not good enough players. Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green and guys like they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, Draymond's had a great career, but so he's like, not that kind of player
we'll
anymore.
We'll disagree on LeBron, but if you want to put him on the list, I would say maybe he had that. I feel like he's less concerned with
that's
that
fine.
Now.
I'll meet you in the middle on that. Yeah. He had it at one point. He's aged out of it now. It's his league. He views it as like he's more of an ambassador than a competitor. Fine.
But
at one point, LeBron had it.
Like, there are some tremendous players, right? This is a different argument. Like, there are amazing players. The league is as talented as it's ever been, but just sort of the mentality has changed a little bit. And I don't know if it's free agency, AAU, tens of or hundreds of millions of dollar contracts, whatever it might be. That's a different topic.
You think Mitchell has any of it? I know Mitchell and Tatum specifically are friends.
Yeah.
Do you think Mitchell has any of it?
A little bit. Like, he's really good. Like, he's like one of those cold-blooded guys at the end of a game, but I don't know if he like plays mean necessarily.
Yeah, and I know him and Tatum are tight, so it's mitigated against the Celtics
buds.
We'll get into the best teams remaining in the field. I want to get to Giannis as well, but Caleb's waiting in the car. Go ahead, Caleb.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
So my theory is that Mazzulla, who is a tough guy, just literally benched Tatum for the second game. After Tatum missed all of his three throws, laid on the court crying, Mazzulla's yelling at him to get up. I think he went in to the trainer's office and was just like, listen, bud, 114 games, you're playing like a baby, I'm sick of it. You're not playing this time. We're saying you're hurt with injury, and that's my theory.
Okay. It's a wild conspiracy. I would say
I love a good conspiracy.
If that's true, Mazzulla wouldn't be the coach in game three.
Yeah.
If that's true, and why not? We can speculate, let it run wild. There's no way he benched
zero
Tatum.
Chance. Yeah. Literally zero chance. Love a good conspiracy. Yeah. We will not turn any away.
Imagine if Brad was like, how come Tatum's not playing? Is his wrist that bad? And Mizzou was like, no.
No, I sat him.
Sending a message.
No.
Excuse me?
What is far more likely is Tatum took a pout game. I'm going to pout for a game.
Well, if it's an either or, then yes.
Yeah. It'd be far more likely than Mazzulla benched him. 617-779-7937. Who's the biggest challenge remaining for the Celtics? I think I know the answer, so I have a follow-up.
Overall or in the East?
Overall.
Thunder.
Okay.
It's still the Thunder. I think we saw it in the regular season, you know, head-to-head, and even with the Thunder, one game missing Chet Holmgren, one game missing Jalen Williams, like, they were good.
Okay. So I agree. It's the Thunder.
It's the Thunder.
Thunder is still the one team I would pick head-to-head against the Celtics. I think it's close. Not a landslide, but it's the one team I would pick head-to-head. Who's their second biggest threat remaining in the playoffs, not just in the East? Who's the second biggest threat?
Cleveland. I've liked Cleveland all year. I know there's a couple other good teams out West, and that's probably where you're leaning.
Yes.
But I'll take the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think Evan Mobley is a tremendous defensive player. How they use him, and you know, we'll see. But they have a good roster, and close game late, they have a guy that can win it for them. It's sort of like we talk about like quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, if you have the ball last, if the Cavs have the ball late, I trust Donovan Mitchell to score or do the right thing to win. So that's a game where the closing minutes could get kind of hairy, and they have somebody really good on the other side.
So if you're talking threat to the Celtics, that means they're there and they're across waiting for you in the finals. Golden State's a little scary. No,
they are. I mean, well, with that caveat.
But that's
I'm not super.
That's the threat. Right?
No, I'm not scared of them right now.
I'm
but
sure
if they
gonna
beat,
get there,
they win three series, then you obviously have to take them seriously.
They're scary if they're waiting for you in the finals.
Right, and it's really the two guys.
They're scarier than the Cavs if the Celtics have to play them in a series.
Wouldn't you argue these two guys that are on the Warriors have prevented the Celtics from already being a dynasty?
Yeah,
if Butler and Curry are the only ones that can beat them in the playoffs, essentially. So if you
that's a good
right,
point.
Like if you beat Butler one time, and who knows what you do in the finals that year, but if you beat Curry, you already have two titles. If you beat Butler, who know? I mean, right? Like that's a good what if.
Butler's knocked him out twice.
Those guys have stood in their way, so it might be a cool like slay the dragon type of finals. But yeah, as a fan, I don't know how you couldn't be like a little worried, because that means they beat Minnesota and they beat the Thunder,
right?
Yeah.
So I would pick the Celtics head to head against Golden State, but that to me is a scarier team than Cleveland.
Okay.
Because of exactly what you just said. A slay the dragon element. It would be a great fairy tale ending.
That'd be a cool story.
Take them both out on the same team.
That's right.
But don't tell me you're not a little afraid of Golden State.
At that point.
If they get there. But I get your point. You're not afraid of them yet because they got a long way to go. They got a lot of good teams to knock out. They haven't even knocked out Houston yet.
The Cavs just won like four games by 50 points and a roll. And they also beat you in the regular season. Like, the Cavs are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like them. You've been saying it all year.
I said if
you like that Knicks team, I get it.
I said if the Celtics lose to Orlando last night, which they did not, I didn't forecast they would.
No.
But I said if they did, I'd start to get worried about not getting out of the East. Short of that, I'm not worried about
that. What do you think of Cleveland, Indiana as a series?
I got to be a. Yeah. I think Cleveland's gonna have trouble with that series.
I think Indiana's tough.
I think Indiana's tough. I think Cleveland gets out of that.
Same, and, but that could be like a six gamer.
And I think the Celtics should be rooting to get Cleveland in the Eastern Conference final. You don't want Indy again in an Eastern Conference final.
Haliburton and his dad.
Easier path.
What if his dad confronts one of the players?
Easier path, Keith. But again, I just said I think the Celtics are better off for facing Orlando. They'll be better off for having to go through Cleveland long term.
Yeah.
Speaking of Haliburton and his dad, all the antics last night, if you missed any of it, horrible, horrible, ugly overtime where Haliburton took 8 million shots. He missed everything, but he did get the game-winning layup. He did get the game-winning layup. He went toe-to-toe Dominique Larry Bird style with Gary Trent Jr.
Overtime. Gary Trent Jr.
And he hits the winning layup. Haliburton's dad gets in Giannis's face.
I'm old enough to remember Gary Trent Sr.
I want to hear Giannis after the game. Okay. I think I stand with Scheim on his take earlier today.
I don't know if you stand with all of his takes.
I stand with him on the Giannis part. Go ahead, though. Here's big baby Giannis after the game.
Nothing. This is the last thing I'm going to say. I won't talk a lot. Last the game, it doesn't really matter. One thing I'll say is that I believe like being humble in victory. That's how I am. Now there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, you got tired, and you know it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree.
Okay. He disagrees.
He disagrees. He also started the press conference by saying, I've won a title. I've won a title so I can do whatever
I've won. They haven't.
So he is, for a guy who's won a title, one of the great losers in sports. Like the other couple years ago when they were the one seed and they lost, and he's like, there's no such thing as failure. Like,
I won the championship. They haven't.
Yeah. So, no, Keith,
he's a big time loser, but you did win one. So it's a tough one to rationalize.
He's a loser who won. No, there are examples.
That's
of this.
Him.
It's not a failure. It's steps to success.
What are you talking about?
That's still the cringiest thing he ever said.
He lost me on that.
Same. That's the moment I turned
I on. Thought when he won his title, you go back to whatever that was, three, 4 years ago, he won the title. His age, what he had already accomplished, I was thinking like there was a chance he could have a better career than LeBron.
Well, I know you think
at that
of
moment.
Of course you thought.
No, not
that.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
no,
now.
No, but of course at one point you thought
at
that.
At the age of his title,
yeah.
I think he had like the same number of MVPs, and either he was a year ahead on the title or he was even with him. You're like, if this guy wins a couple more, and he didn't play with Dwayne Wade, he didn't play with Bosch, he didn't play with Anthony Davis, he didn't play with Kyrie, he played with Chris Middleton. And he could have won all these titles, but he wins one, and now he sucks. Yeah. Can't get out of the first round. I mean, he doesn't suck. He's a great player, but like he's a loser.
His team sucks. Yeah. I agree. It's the exact word I would use for Giannis. Loser.
Yeah.
Oh, he won, Jones. Yeah, so did A-Rod. Isn't A-Rod a loser?
A-Rod's a loser player.
Yeah. A-Rod is a loser player.
Brett Favre?
Manning.
Loser player. Won a title. Manning, loser player.
Even Manning.
These are all losers.
Like, they're kind of all losers.
They're all losers.
They had a bunch of early choke exits.
Now, yeah,
like
true.
They're like those are all got. Yeah, they all won, and I feel more strongly about A-Rod than Manning. But yeah, they all won. They're all kind of losers. Giannis is in that group.
Giannis
is in the loser winner group.
Now here's where we have to, or at least I have to disagree with Scheim. He's like Halliburton's dad can say whatever he wants. Dad needs to shut up too.
So,
like they're both losers.
Halliburton's dad is a clown, no doubt about it. I don't stand with Scheim on that aspect. The Giannis part, that Giannis is a douche and a loser. I stand with Shai.
I like trash talk. I think sportsmanship is widely overrated. I don't think there's really any use for it. So if the players on the Pacers wanted to talk trash,
great. No harm, no foul.
You won. You can do that. If the
mommy and daddy are out there fighting your battles.
Mommy and daddy are on the court talking, get out of here.
Not great.
So that's one I can't take either. Halliburton's dad and Giannis, like I don't like either one of them.
Yeah, I don't. But
there's no winner there.
Outside of Shai, I don't get the debate about Halliburton's dad. About Giannis, though, loser. I'm with you on that.
Big time loser.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We have Celtics thoughts all day long. You got thoughts on Giannis last night. You can weigh in on that. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do that at 11:30. And we'll start to mix in some Patriots talk as well. Another captain cut by the Pats.
Dropping like flies.
The leaders are all out. What does it say about Mike Vrabel? We'll get into it with your thoughts next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.